4CIB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group. With a large team of highly experienced professionals, you can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
Tuesday, the 10th of May, and this is John Fradgley with you from the Bell Legal Group for today's program of The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice. That's right, F-R-E-E-E, free legal advice. All we need you to do is give us a telephone call. Our number is 55208888. That's 55208888. And if you're calling from south of the Tweed River, don't forget to put 07 in front of the number. You can also send us questions on our email address, which is talkback@4crb.com if you're not able to get to the phone, or if you just simply feel maybe a little bit shy in making a call and you don't want your question or to voice your question during the program on air. So by all means, you can send us an email if that be the case. Thank you to the people who called last week and made for an interesting program. There was a late call from Pam who left her number, and I did try to give her a call back, but unfortunately haven't heard back from her. So, Pam, if you're listening to the program today, by all means, give us a call during the program, 55208888, or alternatively, you can give me a call on the number I left for you. But we do actually have a question that came in by email from Henry, and it relates to a car accident that he was in where he was rear-ended by a bus. And obviously in this situation, there's no question about where the fault lies with the accident. But he apparently, though, failed to tick the box in the claim form saying he required a hire car. And so therefore, his insurance company that otherwise covered the repairs wasn't able to provide him with this vehicle, but he did get a car through another car rental company, I assume, or a company that deals with providing cars in accidents. But they're having trouble recovering the costs of the hire from the bus owner, and therefore the solicitors for the company that provided the car are wanting to sue the owner of the bus, but say the action has to be taken in the name of Henry, because obviously he owned the vehicle and he was the one who hired the car. Now, Henry's concerns are what possible ramifications there might be for him if he agrees to be the plaintiff in the action. And the most important thing, of course, is that if he's the plaintiff in the action and the action is unsuccessful. Now, Henry, this would be basically like a no-win, no-fee action. Unfortunately, the claim against the bus owner does need to be taken in your name because this is damage arising out of the accident that you suffered. So the important thing is going to be to ensure that the documentation from the solicitors for the hire company or the company that provided the vehicle clearly provides that they will not only cover all the legal costs in relation to the claim, but in the event that the claim is unsuccessful, that they will also cover any legal costs that might be awarded against you. So what I would be recommending you do is to make sure that you get any agreement they require you to sign in relation to those costs checked independently, legally and independently before you sign up. Now, the way you could possibly do that would be through one of the two service providers on the Gold Coast that provide free legal advice, and one of those is the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau, which is located in Southport. Their number's 55329611, or the other one would be My Community Legal, which was previously known as the Robina Community Legal Centre, that operates on a Thursday evening at the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre. And there is a number for them. It is 0423 466 286. But enough of that. We've got our first caller online as we say good morning to Michael. Morning, Michael. How are you today? Hello, Michael. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you now. Michael, how can we help you today?
Okay, what I've got is my son and daughter-in-law, they live in a body corporate situation, but they're separate buildings. They're not all joined together. Now, he's got a bit of subsidence under the house where the house, one side, you can put a bottle on the floor and it'll just roll down to where the subsidence is falling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that covered by Body Corp or is it covered by them themselves?
So you're saying that that these are separate houses, but they're in a body corporate situation?
That is correct, yes. Right.
So it sounds to me as if it's probably a group title development. And if it is a group title development, then normally the owners of those separate group title lots are liable for their own insurance in relation to the home. And so, therefore, I think it would be a matter of checking with the insurer to see whether the insurance does cover this. And I suspect that it's probably his liability.
Okay, so if he's owned, if he, what you're saying is if he's got building insurance and he's owned building insurance, they'll cover it. Otherwise, it could be in a body corp.
Well, it'll be a question whether the insurance does cover it. Subsidence may not necessarily be covered by the insurance, but I would strongly suspect that if it's a separate freestanding house that is on a group title lot, then the insurance and any issues with subsidence may, in fact, be his responsibility.
Okay, then I shall let my son know that.
Yeah, whereabouts on the Gold Coast does he live, Michael? Which suburb?
In Pacific Pines.
Pacific Pines.
Where all the hills are.
Yes, I know where all the hills are. So, look, the only other thing I could suggest he do is take the papers relating to his body corporate and possibly make an appointment to go and see the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre in Southport.
Yeah.
I can give you a number for that if you like.
No, I'm driving at the moment,
all right.
But... she can look it up anyway.
Yes, yes, they're in the phone book. They've been around for a long time. It's the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau. They're in Railway Street in Southport. And he may be able to take the documents that he has into them, and that may assist in getting some advice.
Okay, then. Thank you very much for your help.
Okay, then, Michael. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB is 14 minutes past 9. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Bell Legal Group is the Gold Coast's longest established law firm. Their highly experienced team of professionals can provide assistance in wills and estate planning, property law and conveyancing, family law, business and commercial law, and much, much more. Contact our sponsor, Bell Legal Group, on 5597 3366. That number again, 5597 3366, or learn more about what they can offer at belllegal.com.au.
And this is the Law and You on 4CRB. Our telephone number, 5520 8888. That's 5520 8888. We presently have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query this morning, give us a call right now and you'll be able to get straight through. Preferable not to leave it to the last 5 or 10 minutes of the program, which, of course, happened last week. And unfortunately, we weren't able to take the call that came in from Pam at the last minute. So if you have a question, you'll get straight through now, 5520 8888. Now, many of you would have heard during the week that the Queensland government is presently reviewing the legislation in relation to animal welfare in Queensland. In fact, it's the first review that's taken place in relation to animal welfare in Queensland for 20 years. And one of the really important things coming out of it is the banning of what they refer to as prong collars, which collars that apparently have spikes on the inside of them, the purpose of which is allegedly to train dogs by providing a painful response if they strain on the lead too much and that sort of thing. Now, I must confess that I thought these forms of collar, and including the ones that provide electric shock, had been banned years ago. So I was quite surprised to hear that these haven't yet been banned in Queensland. But certainly it will be a good thing to see these changes to the law in Queensland so that these sorts of practices can in fact be done away with, because obviously as anyone who's had anything to do with training animals will tell you, it's certainly not the way to train animals by fear or the inflicting of pain on the animals. So full marks to the Queensland Government for that. But enough of that. We've got our next caller online as we say good morning to Lenny. G'day, Lenny. How are you?
Good, thank you, John.
That's good. How can we help you today?
John, I wanted to find out what my legal position is. I'm in my late 80s. I'm blind, and I'm renting a unit from a church, and they're the owners. And I've received a notice from the agents for them to vacate by the 1st of July.
Now, right.
That's absolutely impossible for me. I can't do anything without... I can't even read a letter or write the name and read it. So everything I do is dependent on others to do it for me. So,
right.
So what's my legal advice there?
Right. So do you have a tenancy agreement, Lenny?
Well, I've got a lease, yes.
Okay, so you have a lease. And when does your lease expire?
I think on that date.
All right. Okay.
On the 1st of July.
Right. And have you spoken to the church in relation to the matter at all?
Yes. And I've said to them, can I... they said they want to do renovations. And I
right.
said, well, can I come back after you do the renovations? They said, no, we think you want to find another place to live.
Right,
And I might add, I've been here 7 years. I've always paid my rent. I don't drink. I don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm a good tenant.
Yes.
And I've said, well, so can I come back? And I said, well, if I pay some more rent, can I stay? And they said, no, I think you've got to go.
Okay.
So I think pretty heartless myself. But
yes.
What's my legal position?
Right. Well, look, Lenny, if you've got a lease and it does provide for and it's for a specific term and it expires on a specific date, then it very well may be that that you will be required to vacate the property. Doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be required to vacate on the date of the notice. They've got to give you reasonable time to get out and reasonable opportunity to find alternate accommodation. Which suburb of the coast are you in, Lenny?
Southport.
Sorry, in Southport. Okay,
correct.
And are you able to get out and about at all?
Only with the assistance of friends.
Right, so do you have friends who come and do take you out from time to time?
I do get aged care, comes and helps.
Right, you know, and do they take you out to appointments and things of that nature?
I've got a friend that will take me to those, yes.
Right, okay. So what I would suggest you do is take the tenancy agreement that you have and the notice that you've been given, and I would suggest that you go and see the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau in Southport. Are you able to take down a telephone number?
No, but is it possible to get someone to text it to me after we get off the phone?
Yes. Well, look, what I would suggest you do is if you stay on the line after we've finished talking, I'll have someone on the reception take the call back to reception and we'll take down your phone number so that we can text that number to you. Okay?
Great.
So, yes, look... given that you've been there for such a length of time, although the tenancy agreement is going to expire by a fluxion of time, because you're saying that you've been given notice to vacate on the last date under the agreement, they still need to be reasonable in relation to the notice that they give you. What was the date you said that they're requiring you to vacate by?
1st of July.
1st of July. So that is still quite some time away. Lenny, the other thing is, given your circumstances, that you're in your late 80s and you're blind, have you looked, for example, at the possibility of going to an aged care facility?
No, that's out of the question with me. I want to always be independent.
Right, okay.
And this is the care and situation, like this aged care situation that the government's got in place is a wonderful service because it allows us to stay in our own home.
And come and look after you, yes. And, of course, the problem you're confronting...
Yes, that works for me.
Yes, and the problem you're
that
confronting, of course, is that with the scarcity of rental properties available at the present time, it's not going to be easy at all for you to find alternative accommodation. Look, Lenny, as I say, I'll get them to take you back to the switchboard and we'll take your number and then I'll get back in touch with you after the program and just have a bit of a chat to you about your circumstances and we'll just see what we may be able to do to assist you with that. I'll obviously be able to go a lot further into the details of the matter, including the church concerned, etc., and we'll just see what possibilities there may be to assist you in relation to this matter, because obviously it's one of great concern to you, and I'm sure it's one that's of great concern to many of our listeners out there as well, given your circumstances. All right, then?
Yeah. Well, thank you, John.
Good. Okay, no trouble at all.
Good result.
We'll be back after this word from our sponsor. Oh, no, we won't. We're just taking down Lenny's number. So while we're doing that, another issue that I was going to talk about, and by the way, the telephone lines are free, 55208888 if you have a question or a query. Very quiet morning this morning. Must be something to do with the rain. But anyway, you can call straight through 55208888 if you have a question or a query and you wish to speak to us. In the meantime, one item that came out of interest or struck me in reviewing various legal matters during the week an item about a court finding against Hutchinson Builders and the CFMEU being engaged in anti-competitive behaviour in relation to one of their building sites in Southport, which was called the South Point Apartments. And basically what happened is that the CFMEU put pressure on Hutchison's to boycott a subcontractor on that site because the subcontractor wasn't part of an EBA, which is an enterprise bargaining agreement, that the CFMEU had with various contractors on that site, and they only wanted contractors on the site who were part of this agreement, which included the union. Now, obviously, what happened here, therefore, was that Hutchison's didn't proceed with the contractor in question, and engaged another contractor to do the work on site. The net result being that the court found that Hutchison's and the union had reached an agreement, and with the result that that this other contractor approved by the CFMEU, who was a party to an EBA, was engaged to do the work on the site. Now, boycotts of any kind are regarded as anti-competitive conduct and obviously harm the economy as a whole and, of course, businesses in particular. And the contractor originally appointed on this job, of course, would have been a case in point. So the court has found that this was in fact a breach of the law, and the court will in fact at a later date be deciding on the penalties that are going to be imposed as a result of this behaviour. So as I've often said, this actually arose out of a project in 2016, and as I've often said, the wheels of justice do turn slowly, it may appear, from time to time, but certainly turn they do, and it's good to see that the courts do, in fact, or the relevant bodies such as the ACCC and ASIC do, in fact, take action in relation to these matters. But enough of that. We've got another caller online. We'll say hello to Ross. G'day, Ross. How are you today?
Yeah, well, thanks, John. Look, this is purely hypothetical. Purely hypothetical. Say a person agrees to lease a property.
Mm-hmm.
They get the lease document. They don't like some clauses on page 15.
Mm-hmm.
So they take that page 15 out of the document, but they sign the lease where they're supposed to sign it. Now, are they obliged to tell the other party they've taken the page out? Could they just send that document back without that page and the owner has to bear the consequences of it if they don't pick it up?
Well, obviously the owner's not going to be bound to it until the owner signs. So
but the owner doesn't realise that page 15 has been taken out. You know, here's the back. They often just go through, the back page has been signed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a page missing that the owner didn't realise.
Look, it may be that the owner would not be bound to that agreement. The situation, my view would be that if you're going to amend a document in that way, that there is an obligation to point out that the document has been amended. So if the page has been deliberately removed from the document, my view would be that the tenant would be obliged to or the solicitors acting for the tenant would be obliged to advise the owner that that's the case. Now, if the owner in fact signs up and later finds that page 15 is missing, and then there's an argument about whether page 15 applies or not, then there would be an action, in my view, for a mistake of fact. That the landlord has signed the document in the mistaken belief that the document is in the form that it was originally submitted, or it may be a case of misleading and deceptive conduct.
I think it would
come down to a decision of the court as to the outcome might be.
Yes.
But certainly my view would be that, and certainly between lawyers, there is absolutely no question that if you amend a document and send it back to another lawyer, you must point out that the changes have been made.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'm just thanks, John. Thank you.
Okay, then, Ross, all the very best. And probably our last caller for today, Michael. G'day, Michael. How are you today? Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, how can we help you today?
Well, I was thinking about lending. I know in New South Wales, if you're over 80 and you go to Department of Housing, you go on a priority list.
Yes.
So if your nobody speaks with Department of Housing in Queensland because of his age and circumstances, they can get him some priority housing and he'll still have his own place.
Yes. I'm not sure if that applies in Queensland as well, Michael, but we've taken his number and I intend to give him a call back because I want to have a lot longer discussion with him about his circumstances, what's happened and where we might be able to assist him to resolve the current situation that he has. And that would certainly be one of the things. One of the things I was going to do was get him to go in and see the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau in Southport. But given his mobility difficulties, my intention is to go through those issues with him fully when I call him back. But thank you so much for calling in and just making a mention of that, and I'll certainly keep that in the back of my mind.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, Michael, all the very best. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for this program of The Law and You. I'll look forward to being back with you again next Tuesday morning. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm. helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 55 97 33 66.